hand and touched him, and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the last several weeks, we've been in a sermon series on anxiety. Anxiety as an opportunity for spiritual growth. Often we see anxiety as a barrier. We see it as a barrier between us and God. But what if it is through our anxiety we are able to encounter Jesus even closer? Some of us have occasional anxiety. We worry or get butterflies over big things, like a job interview or meeting the parents of your partner for the first time. Others of us have more prominent anxiety that keeps us from sleeping at night or takes up too much of our thoughts. But even if you don't have anxiety, you know and love someone who does. Dr. Curtis Chang is the one who wrote the material for this study that we are using in the Zoom study on Sunday afternoons, and also for this sermon series. So he decided to do a deep dive into the Gospel of Mark and examine the people or small groups that came to Jesus, that approached Jesus. Some approached as individuals, and others as parts of small groups. He discovered there are 29 times when an individual or a small group approached Jesus. In 15 of those 29, so over 50%, there's strong evidence that the person or people who approached Jesus had anxiety. They were anxious. We can see this through Jesus' response, which at times included, "I implore you," or other indicator that anxiety was present. Often Jesus would say, "Peace be with you," or something like that. And another 12 of those 29 approaches, there is evidence that the person could be anxious, but not quite as definitive as those other 15 times. One of these 12 approaches is that beautiful story from the Gospel of Mark, where the friends break open the roof and drop their friend down so that he can be healed. Again, we likely that person and those people were anxious, so anxious that they tore open a roof to get their friend closer to Jesus, but not quite as definitive. There are only two such approaches of those 29 in the Gospel of Mark where there is no sign of anxiety. One of those being the woman who comes as and pours out that perfume on Jesus before he is betrayed. And so in over half of the approaches of an individual or small group coming to Jesus, the person or people coming are in an anxious state. So anxiety is nothing new, and Jesus dealt with anxiety quite a bit. It helps us to see that there are many people in the world in Jesus' day and today that go through anxiety, whether it's the occasional anxiety or more chronic. Jesus knew and interacted with a lot of people who were anxious. So often, those of us who deal with more anxiety than others, we don't like the person we become when we are anxious. We want people to think we have it all together, right? We like that perfect world maybe we portray on social media, or, you know, again, what we want the world to think of us by, right? A person who can handle multiple things at once and not feel overwhelmed. We want to seem like we're good at things, good at parenting, good at our jobs, a good friend, good partner, and so on. But we often don't like the person we feel like we become when we are anxious. Even if you only experience occasional anxiety, I promise you can relate. Like if you only get anxious on like a first date, you may go home and criticize yourself, right? You might think about every interaction, every word you said, and what you said. And again, because you were anxious, you are more likely to be critical. We often don't like our anxious selves. We feel frustrated, embarrassed, and judgmental towards the person we feel we become when we are anxious. And our scripture from Mark is one of the 15 times that we're sure the person has anxiety. The man with skin disease comes to Jesus and immediately falls on his knees and begins to beg. Now, it's important to remember that there are strict laws in the Bible about people who have skin disease. In Leviticus 13, people with skin disease are told they must be brought before a priest who will examine the infection. It's a priest who will declare the person clean or unclean. In verse 45 to 46, we're told anyone with an infection of skin disease must wear torn clothes, dishevel their hair, cover their upper lip, and shout out, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine? They will be unclean as long as they are infected. They are unclean, and they also must live outside the camp. These are the laws from Leviticus that they were still following in Jesus' day. So it's the priest who declares a person unclean and also declares a person clean. The priest must travel outside the camp and check on the person and then prepares a purification. So this is the life of the man who approaches Jesus in Mark chapter 1. He can't live with his family. He can't work. He's isolated. He's been ostracized. Of course, he's anxious. He can't be with the people he loves. He wants to be healed of his skin disease and declared clean so he can re-enter, be not outside the town, but be back in the town. We see in his words to Jesus, "If you want, you can make me clean." He recognizes in Jesus something priestly, as again, it's only the priest who can declare a person clean. We see his faith on display. He believes that Jesus has the power not only to declare him clean, but also to heal him, right? Because he still has the skin disease. And we see a man when he is anxious. He's on his knees begging. Before he had skin disease, I doubt he was a person who begged. Let's dream with me. Maybe he was a successful businessman. Maybe he was a fisherman like other of the disciples, regularly going out on the boat, hauling in fish and cleaning nets. His anxiety and desperation over his skin condition has led him to do things like beg, which again, he likely had never done before. And it's in this anxious state that he encounters Jesus. Had he been clean and back at work, back on the fishing boat, back in the market, wherever he might be, he might not have even realized Jesus was in town. Had he been his normal, declared clean self, his faith may not have been tested in such a way that he would encounter Christ. Yet it's because he is so desperate. He does this bold act of approaching Jesus, kneeling and begging, and believes that he can just declare him clean and he will be made clean. And it's through all this anxiety that he approaches Jesus. And we see what Jesus does. Jesus responds by reaching out his hand and touching the man with skin disease. This is pretty radical for that day. Through touching a person who is declared unclean, one becomes unclean. There's a whole ritual and rules to follow to become clean again. Jesus does not need to touch this man in order to heal them, as we see in Mark chapter 2. So in Mark 2 is that beautiful story of the roof being opened, and Jesus, just through his words, is able to clean, to heal this man. To heal the man. But now we see that Jesus is touching this man. So again, Jesus has the power just through his words to heal and clean this man. But he touches this man. Jesus touches this man, a man who has likely not been touched since that priest first declared him unclean. And Jesus said, "I do want to do this. Be clean." Instantly, we see that the skin disease leaves this man's body, and he is clean. Jesus sent the man away, telling him not to tell anyone, and said, "Go show yourself to the priest so you can officially be declared clean." So Jesus touches the man in his anxious and unclean state. By touching the man, Jesus is showing that he accepts this man as he is, a man who is so anxious he is on his knees and begging. Again, not the ideal image that this man would like the world to see him in, right? So think about yourself when you are anxious. How do you feel about that version of yourself? You might feel at times frustrated, embarrassed, and judgmental towards that version of yourself when you are anxious. So So imagine with me coming to Jesus in that anxious state, whether for you it's in the middle of the night when you wake up and all you can do is think all these thoughts and you just want them to go away. You just want to be cleaned of this anxiety. And then Jesus reaches out and touches you in that anxious state, that state of yourself you don't even like. Jesus touches, and then Jesus heals. Before Jesus heals us in our anxious state, remember Jesus touches us, accepts the version of us we might likely do not even like. Jesus sees us and embraces us when we're not at what we think is our best. Not the version we want the world to see, a person who's confident and has most of it together and this idea that we want to portray to the world. Jesus sees us and embraces us when we are anxious and overwhelmed, sometimes barely able to stand up and function, just like this man. Through this leprous man in Mark 1, Christ accepts, Christ commits, and Christ heals. Christ answers our doubt with commitment to us. For the man with leprosy, his shame is met with healing. He feels Jesus' words, "Be clean," as Christ's offering healing. So I want you to think about this week an acceptance move. So this is what Dr. Curtis Chang talks about in his study. What is a way that you can remind yourself in your anxious state that you are accepted and loved? Perhaps it's just rubbing your arm and remembering that Jesus embraces you in this anxious state. I know sometimes for me, it's imagining all this anxious stuff and an imaginary ball, balling it up and throwing it up to God and not taking it back. That is the hard part. Don't take it back. It's a one-way toss. So what can you do this week to remind yourself in your state of anxiety that Jesus accepts it, Jesus accepts you, and Jesus takes it so that you can start that wonderful healing? Maybe you just tell yourself, "I'm loved by Jesus just as I am right now," to remind yourself that Jesus sees you, Jesus touches you, and heals. So even if you don't have regular anxiety, you're invited to practice this with people you know who do, because I promise you love people who have anxiety. As you see them struggle, remind yourself that Jesus sees this person, touches them, loves them, and heals them. Maybe it will help you to love them even deeper. Your spouse, your child, coworker will feel this change in you, and it will help them to feel accepted, even as they're in that anxious state. Your compassion and your empathy will come through. We see all throughout the Gospels that Jesus encounters, touches, and heals people who are anxious for various reasons. A child who is sick and dying. They themselves are sick, have been hemorrhaging for 12 plus years. People who are hungry. People have a loved one who is dying, and it is through their anxiety that they encounter Christ. So this week, as you find yourself anxious, I invite you to remind yourself that Jesus sees you in that anxious state, loves you, and touches you, and embraces you, and heals you as well. We give God thanks for that. Will you all pray with me? God, help us to embrace our anxiety as an opportunity to encounter Christ through that anxiety. But God, help us. We often don't like the person we feel we become when we're anxious. We're not that confident person that we want the world to see. God, help us to not be judgmental towards that version of ourselves, to know that Christ sees us like that, Christ embraces us, and Christ is there helping to heal us. Help us, God, as we all work through our anxiety and love others who are also working through anxiety. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.